What is up, everybody? Colby here. Before we get started, just wanted to let you know that the audio in this one is going to have a bit of a change midway through. I forgot to plug in my microphone before we started, so the first half of it, roughly half of it, is with my laptop microphone. The second half was with my actual microphone, so bear with me, bear with us. We'll get through it together. Enjoy the show.
Hey there, my name is Martha.
And I'm Colby. And this is the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
The show where we talk about what you need to know to live your best millennial life.
Listen in each week as we talk about everything from our favorite pizza to how to drop your toxic friends.
We ask each other the questions, and somewhere between us, there's an answer.
Because there's shit you need to know.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on the Shit You Need to Know podcast.
A podcast where we talk about things you need to know and some things you didn't. Welcome back to another episode. We'll get it kicked off with a poll. The poll of the week is pretty simple. What is your Hogwarts house? Now, I'm not talking about what you think you are. I need you to go to Pottermore.com and get sorted, because that's the only answer that I will accept on this poll. Colby, what is your house?
Okay, listen, one, I'm mad at Pottermore because not for my sorting. It's because I did a sorting when I was in college and I used my college email, and my college email is no longer in use, and I can't find anywhere on the website to figure out how to change it to my new email. So if anyone knows how to do that, please tweet at me at Colby Complaints so I can get my Pottermore account back, because I don't want to take all the tests again.
Well, they changed the test. Like, you might get a different answer.
I'm not going to get a different answer because I'm a Ravenclaw through and through.
Okay, so I've actually taken the test twice, and I've got different answers. So the first time I ever took it was when Pottermore was in beta mode, and this was so long ago, but you had to, like, stay up, and a clue would be released, and you had to, like, go to that clue, like, the page of the clue and click the feather, and that's how you got a beta invite into Pottermore. So I did that one night. I think I stayed up till, like, 3 a.m. I would, like, set my alarm every hour to go and check, and I finally found it. I don't remember what chapter it was on or anything, but I clicked it. So anyways, after that version, I got sorted into Ravenclaw. But then I've taken it again because I'm sure they, like, revamped the website and they did a new quiz. And then that showed me as a Hufflepuff. So I guess I'm a Ravenpuff. I don't really identify with the Hufflepuff. I'm pretty lazy, but I'm also pretty smart and intellectual. So, or at least I think I am, which I think is a trait of a Ravenclaw.
I don't think there is any doubt that I am a Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I would actually not agree with that.
Really?
Yeah, I think I would say you're something different.
Well, like what?
I'm like a combination of maybe a Gryffindor and a Hufflepuff.
Gryffindor?
Yeah.
Don't you ever insult me like that again.
All right, well, you can find us on Instagram at Real Martha Riley and at SYNTK Pod for the poll. And if you think one of us is not like the other, if you think one of us should be in a different house, you can let us know.
Please, obviously, correct Martha.
We're different people. So, Colby, what do we have going on this month on the podcast?
So, Passion Month is over. We no longer have passions. Now we're growing up. This is what growing up is like. You have to shed everything you've ever loved, including your friends, like we're talking about today. No, it is growing up month. And we're just going to talk about, you know, what it's like kind of transitioning into adulthood. We're kind of in slightly different stages, since Martha is a little bit more seasoned as an adult than I am. But we have some different experiences we want to talk about. And today, we want to talk about what it's like to, you know, maintain friendships after college.
The transition from high school to college can be unique, but really we're kind of all in the same place where we don't know anyone unless you, I went to college with a couple of my high school friends and I knew some people, but they weren't in my dorm. They weren't in my classes. So basically you don't know anyone. You are forced out in the open. It's like first day of kindergarten all over again. And it's horrible. I hated my first year of college. I had like very limited friends. But after college, things kind of changed because you've been through 4 years of college. And maybe you didn't go to college. Maybe you went to community college. It's all kind of relative for your situation. But there is always like seasons in friendships. Like you can, one season you'll make a bunch of friends. One season you'll just maintain those. Another season you might lose a couple of friends. At least that's been my experience. Would you agree with my seasons metaphor, I guess?
I mean, sometimes you get a cliffhanger where you text a friend and you just never hear from them for a couple, like 3 or 4 months, and you get a reply to that text. You're like, oh yeah, next season starting. No, I think I would kind of agree with that, but I have a question about making friends I want to ask you.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think that you are able to carry some of the skills, some of the friend making skills you had from college to post college?
I think so. What I have found best for, and we'll get into like how to make friends later, but I think what I found best for me is, and this sounds like dumb and stupid and cliche, and I don't know if I like this answer, but just like being myself, being open and honest and not really caring what other people think. That's eventually like the skill set I learned in college. And I've definitely taken that throughout the, you know, throughout my life, really. Okay, how can I just like be myself? How can I be honest? This person, how can we relate to this people? Because, you know, people's my passion, but now I lost that passion. So I had to find that passion again to making friends. Just because you don't want to go through your life without friends, too. I mean, friends are part of that love and belonging that I talked about a while ago. But yeah, I mean, I think that's your answer to the question. I sort of kept that like main thing, and that main thing was me. And then I just carried me throughout my life. Like being myself is how I got to where I am today. That was kind of a long-winded answer, but that's my answer.
I mean, for me, when I got to college, literally the first day I moved in, we moved in from like 8 to 12. I went and got lunch with my parents, and then band camp started at 2.
Oh.
So starting at 2 o'clock, I had 300 people around me. A good majority of them were first years like me. So it was just a lot of us. I already had like a built-in system for me to make friends as soon as I got to college.
Yeah. And I didn't do any sororities or fraternities or band. Like the people who I made friends with were in my dorm or in my classes. And it's kind of weird to like make friends in your classes. I did sometimes, like depending on who I was sitting with, but when you go on, you're in classes, like my senior year, I was in classes with a bunch of sophomores because I waited for till the end to like take some basic credits. And it was just like, well, I can't really make friends here because I don't want to. These people are like way too young. And I'm like, I'm ready to get the fuck out of college. But yeah, I think that's an interesting point too. Like sometimes there are just built-in systems for you to make friends, and that's really lucky.
Yeah, no, super lucky that I happened to choose to be in band in sixth grade and didn't give it up. Like that's just super lucky.
Orchestra didn't give me those friends because I didn't do that in college. I wanted to, but I didn't.
Why didn't you?
I didn't do orchestra in college because they practiced at night and I wanted to study, basically. So that's why. It's not a good answer, but
no, it's a fine answer.
So after college, do you find that you have friends now? Or would you say that it's been harder for you to maintain friends? Like talk about how you've worked to maintain friendships, or maybe you haven't. No judgment there either way.
I definitely still have friends.
That's good.
But it's...
I'm your friend.
You're my friend.
But you have like, one friend.
At least one friend. Greater than or equal to one friend. No,
it's like it's like the one comma, like in parentheses, one friend.
No, it's like thinking specifically about like my college friends that I bonded with really closely, like there's still a group chat. There's a big group chat that pops up every now and then whenever someone had like a big life moment. But as far as like actually going and being able to see them, that's become a lot more difficult. And I've learned that those friendships where I'm actually in person with them tend to be like the stronger relationships that I have. I have a friend in Atlanta that happens to work for an airline. So he is able to travel a good bit. So I'm able to see him a lot, but my friends that aren't him, like it's difficult. Luckily, right now it's football season. If you couldn't tell.
You don't say.
And we are, a lot of my friends come back because they were in the band and they want to come either watch marching band stuff or see football or see both, see friends, that kind of thing. So I'm able to see a lot of my friends on Saturdays this fall, which is really nice. And it's really good to be able to see some of them that I haven't seen in a while. So I have friends, but it's definitely a barrier to keep them as fulfilling.
I think so too, because I think friendship for me is a really two-way street, and sometimes I get really frustrated when friends don't like communicate with you or they're not the ones reaching out. And I know my best friend and I have talked about this a lot. Like, there are some friends that are really good friends of yours, but they just suck at reaching out. So you're like, well, are they really my friend? Because if they don't want to hang out with me, then I don't want to hang out with them. But it's just like life gets in the way and then it gets complicated. So that's really cool that you have that one bonding experience to all sort of meet up, because I don't have that. I don't play sports. Sometimes I play Dungeons and Dragons, and I guess that's like one way. But usually it's more like I would have to like deliberately make the effort. Like, hey, do you want to get drinks after work today? Or, hey, do you want to try out a new workout class with me? It definitely takes a lot more work to maintain these friendships for me. And maybe it would be nice if I had something to like, you know, something big like football. And I know some of my friends like football, but I don't like football. So yeah, that's something to think about, I guess, going forward, is like, what's one thing that we can all gather around to do? It's not sit around and listen to my podcast, even though it should be friends.
Just throw it on a record player, get a nice cup of brandy and listen to the podcast.
Yes, we are releasing Shit You Need to Know on vinyl starting in January. No, but so how did you meet your friend? So you mentioned marching band. Was there anything else?
Yeah, so like let's talk about college. College, I had like two main groups of friends. There were my band friends and my RA friends, my res life friends. They very rarely mingled. But I was around both of those groups of people so much, where marching band had practices like 3 times a week and then a football game. We were there for 8 hours. And then my co-RAs, we lived together. So those two groups were definitely the ones where I bonded with them the most. And those are the ones I keep up with the most from college, not so much people from classes. I don't know if I have any like long-lasting friendships of me and just someone who was in the class with me.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the mix of my friends. So my best friend right now, I met in middle school, and we actually went to different high schools, different colleges, and then she taught in France for 2 years. We've like literally always been long distance, but now that she lives here, it's cool because I get to like talk to her more and see her more. So that's been really fun. Another close friend of mine was a high school friend. A good friend of mine, we actually met studying abroad. So that was kind of cool. And then another group of my friends, they all lived in the dorms with me. Like, I was that weirdo kid. So listen, like, I'm not exaggerating when I say I didn't have friends that first semester of college, because I didn't. I was dating this guy. He went to my high school at the time. So I was like in college and he was in high school. And I just wanted to hang out with him on the weekends. And on the weekday, like, I studied and I didn't drink and I didn't do anything. So I was my cousins are going to college this year, and I hope they listen to this, and I want to be like, don't do what I did. Like, make some friends, put yourself out there, because it was just so lonely and isolating. Luckily, I got better and figured out who I was and what I wanted to be. So, but
Did you have a turkey drop?
No. What's that?
A turkey drop is what the RAs called it when all of our first year residents who had boyfriends and girlfriends went home for Thanksgiving. Oh. And then when they got back from Thanksgiving, they were single.
No, we actually dated for up until I remember the date we broke up. It's actually like probably really close to today. It was like in September, middle of September. And yeah, that was like a really significant moment. Like, you know, when you remember when 9/11 happens, like you remember where you are. This is like, okay, I remember what I was doing exactly, what happened leading up to the breakup. Cause it's just like, it's like imprinted on my memory. That probably sounds really weird, but you know, it's your first love. But yeah, we dated for a while after that. So he was nice. I mean, relationships are built in friends too. Ideally, you like your significant other.
If all things go to plan.
Right. And if you don't.
I'm a fan of mine.
I'm a fan of mine. And if you don't like your significant other, please break up with them. Now, there's no point in staying together. That is another piece of advice. That's part of growing up, right? Like letting go of things that no longer serve you. But anyways, more to like my friends. I'm trying to think. So we wrote in the notes, what types of friend do you have? Long distance, internet, high school, etc. I have some internet friends. As you guys all know, Colby is an internet friend. We actually have never met in person.
Nope.
If you would like that to happen, please find me on PayPal at MarthaP123. I'll put a link in the show notes. Get Colby to Minnesota or get me to North Carolina. You decide.
Please get Martha to North Carolina.
Colby does not want to go up north.
It's about to be cold up there. It's probably already 50 degrees. That's not.
Dude, it was 90 today. Back the fuck off. It was hot.
It was hotter there than it was here.
Yeah.
It's really hot. In my office.
I'm kind of sweating recording this, if I'm going to be honest. So hanging in there. But yeah. So what types of friends do you guys have? Like, do our listeners have? Let us know. Like, have you made some really cool internet friends? I know back in the day, I remember having a friend on a Harry Potter forum. Maybe you joined a club team or something, or maybe you found a Craigslist roomie. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you and what you have to say about, you know, your types of friends. Do you have friends? Do you not? That's okay. I'm not saying, can you wrap this up? I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's, after you leave college, it's just a transition into figuring out what works for you as far as your interpersonal relationship. So maybe after college, you're like, wow, I was just around 40,000 people every day for the past 4 years. I need to shrink this thing. And that's fine. Like, do what you need to do. But for the ways that you do want to keep up with your friends, how do you end up doing that, Martha?
I will, you know, I mentioned earlier that I don't like when people don't reach out to me, and I'm actually the one that reaches out to them because I do genuinely want to see them. But keeping in touch with my friends, I'll just send them. Honestly, sometimes I've done this. I'll be like, hey, I'm thinking of you. I miss you and I hope you're doing well. Let's catch up soon. Because it just like brightens your day, you know, when it someone's really like, does. Oh, I miss you. I'm thinking of you. Like that's, if someone sent me that, like, honestly, that would make me really happy. No one's ever done that before. So if you have my number, let me know. You can send me a message. But, and then I feel like game nights are always fun. Trivia is always fun to just like invite people to and just like let them know you miss them. If you haven't seen them in a while, there's no shame in being like, hey, I miss you. Like, let's catch up. And if they say no, then okay, try again. And if they say no again, drop them. But up until that point, you can certainly, you know, put some effort into. So I always feel like I want to put effort in because like friendships are really important to me. Sometimes they're more important than my family. And that is a whole nother topic for an episode later down the road. But my friends have been there for more moments than my family has. So that's the way it like measures up in my head. But if I'm not seeing them, that makes me sad. So I don't know. I just reach out. It doesn't hurt to say hi, basically.
Let me talk to the dudes in the who are listening right now. Hey guys, reach out to your guy friends. Like reach out to your male friends and tell them you miss them if you haven't seen them in a while.
It's not gay, we promise.
Like, it's... Men I think, from what I have noticed in my own personal experience, I think need to be more honest with what they need out of their interpersonal relationships, whether that be platonic, romantic, whatever. And I would like to see, like, more adult men just, like, reach out to their friends that they miss and say, hey, dude, I miss you and I want to see you at some point. I think that's important. I think it's really good for emotional growth to be able to say that to somebody.
And I think if you have a male friend, like, not necessarily if you are a male, but if you're a female reaching out to a male friend, it's totally cool to be like, hey, I miss you too. Because sometimes they might not, like, know that they miss you too, because it's just of my personal belief that we could all be more evolved emotional beings, and men sometimes are farther behind on the curve on that. So sometimes they might not know that they miss you and want to hang out too. So it's really to your benefit to reach out to your friends. That's what we're saying. That's the thesis of this podcast.
But also, men, do some work to be better with your emotions.
True. We can talk about that more in depth
at another time.
So we talked about keeping in with our friends, sending them emails. Do people do that anymore? Do you send emails?
No. To, like, my friends? No.
I've sent an email to my friend.
I'll tell you this. My first girlfriend, the way we, like, started talking at first was via email.
That's really cute. I've sent a poem to my friend once over email because I read it and I was like, hey, I thought of you. This was nice.
I don't know my friend's emails.
You don't?
No.
That's weird.
No, it's not.
Okay.
I knew them when I was in college and we all had, like, the same email. But now, no, I don't know their personal email.
Okay, so we talked about keeping up with your friends and reaching out. But has there ever been a situation where you just really didn't want to reach out because you sort of felt that your friendship had run its course?
Yeah, to go back to your season, sometimes you reach the series finale of your friendship and you are sitting there with, like, Will Smith at the end of Fresh Prince, just looking around at the empty house.
Oh my God, that's really sad.
I mean, but it happens.
Yeah.
And you just have to come to terms with, hey, maybe it's not, maybe this is just what it is, and be happy for the times that you had and keep it pushing, you know?
Yeah. So I've lost a couple of friends, and
that's the amicable version of what happens.
Do you want to go into the deeper version? Or have, like, you personally experienced anything?
I mean, just, like, some friends who, like, I reach out to and, like, we send, like, two sentences back to each other and then we stop texting and it's just like, why do I keep doing this when...
Yeah.
It's just that sort of thing.
I get that too. Like, I do that sometimes when I'm feeling lonely and I'm like, oh, I could reach out to this person. And then I start texting them and then I'm like, well, actually, no, I don't really want to put the effort into that, but... I get that, but I've also had situations where I have lost friends, and it's like a huge bummer, honestly. Like, this is about to get real in this podcast and kind of, like, emotional and sad, but I hope that's a good thing. Maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't. So I had a friend, her name was Sansa, and we went to the same high school together. We were really inseparable. We got our nails done. We hung out all the time. We got pizza, whatever high schoolers do. I don't remember. That was, like, a long time ago, probably like 10 years ago when we were friends, which is so weird to say that I had some friends for 10 years or more. And we ended up going to the same college, and that was great because I at least had a friend. We didn't hang out all the time, but it was really nice to, like, catch up for lunch on campus a couple times a week. But the end of freshman year comes around and you have to move out of the dorm unless you are an RA and you're coming back for a sophomore. That's the technicality of it. It's not really one of those liberal arts colleges where you don't, you stay for the whole 4 years or whatever. And she approached me and she's like, hey, do you want to move in together? And her boyfriend at the time, we'll call him Tyrion.
Yikes.
At least I didn't call him Littlefinger.
Bigger yikes.
Oh my God, we're such nerds. So Sansa was like, Tyrion wants to move in with me too. And I was like, okay. But then I thought about it more and I was like, oh no, it's kind of weird for me to move in with a couple. I don't know what'll happen if you break up. I feel uncomfortable with that. And we just got like really mad at each other after that. There wasn't a really big fight or anything because we're Minnesotan, we're passive aggressive, we don't talk about our feelings. And that was it. Like, we left for the summer and I didn't really talk to her again. And that was like kind of sad. And I hope she did well. I mean, I know she got actually married to this guy. So joke's on me, I guess, for thinking that they might break up. I sent her a message congratulating her about her engagement and stuff. So I did reach out a little bit, but we are definitely not as close as we once were. I wasn't even invited to my wedding, even though a bunch of my high school friends were. So that was a little weird. That was a little weird to go through, just like losing a central presence in your life. But like everything, you just adapt and you grow. I'm trying to think of, I know this has happened more than once, which is kind of unfortunate because you wonder if it's yourself or you wonder if you've been friends for so long that one person grew up and the other person didn't, or you both grew up and went in separate directions, which is kind of how things happen. Like, there was a friend that just was very negative all the time and didn't really appreciate what I was doing, didn't like any of this podcasting stuff, wasn't really in line with what I believed in personal development world, whatever. It doesn't quite matter, but so this friend just was like negative, and it's hard to be around someone when you're trying to do something, like you're trying to start a podcast or you're trying to start a business, and their immediate reaction is, I don't get why you're doing this. And that's not what you want in a friend. You really want, I mean, like, that's another thing we can talk about. Like, what do you want in a friend? Is, to me, I want a friend to be supportive and interested in what I'm doing, as well as just like, I don't know, happy for me, happy for my successes. And I want to be happy for their successes too. I mean, what I give into my friendships, I don't expect to get back all the time, but it's certainly nice when it does. Cause I'm like you said, like, I'm a very intense friend and I get that. But losing a friend sucks, and it can happen for like a lot of different ways and a lot of different reasons. It might be your fault, it might not, but sometimes that's just life. Like, that's time, the passage of time. When you get into your 30s, you will probably maybe not have the same friends you do now. And that is also totally normal, as I've heard from 30-year-olds.
One thing that I experience, which some of your listeners might relate to. So
they're your listeners too.
For those of you who don't know, I am a black man. If you have not looked at my Instagram, listen, it surprises some people. I don't know why. But anyway, one thing that some of the black people I talked to, mostly like in college when I was talking to people in the black student movement, which is like our black student group at Carolina, is a lot of people realizing that a lot of their friends from high school were like actually super racist, and you kind of just put up with it because you were in high school and there's not really anywhere you can go, so you just kind of tolerate it because you don't know any better. Until you get to college, you're like, wow, I don't have to do this to myself anymore. So like, there are a multitude of reasons to lose friends, and I think that some people have different motivations or like different reasons for wanting to end a friendship that maybe some people don't have or never thought about.
Totally. And it's really person to person. Like, Colby's reasons for dropping a friend is probably different than my reason for losing a friend. And that's just life. I don't know. Like, but I will say it does make me really appreciative of the friends who have stuck around for that long, even though maybe I've been a dick sometimes or I haven't fully supported them or whatever. I think like friends are really elastic in that sense, but just basically like treat people right and they'll hit you up. They'll do you a favor and treat you right too. And if they don't, then cut them out of your life. This is, that's my scissor sound effect. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Cut it. Cut it. Just Millie rock them away.
What are you looking for in friends when you, because you have, you know, your group of friends, have you added any new friends recently? And what are you looking for? And maybe a better question is, what attracted you to them for friendship reasons?
Most of my new friends that I've gotten have been internet friends. And most of the reasons we've become friends is because of mutual interests. The biggest group of friends that I've gotten has been the reason that Marvin and I met with the Storm of Spoilers Slack, or the Storm as it is now known. I think that just having that one thing to go back to every time, it's just good to have that one communal thing that brings you together. So I think mutual interest is important. I think that honestly, like availability is open. The great thing about internet friends is that if you're in like a group chat like that, someone's always available sometime.
Yeah, so that is true.
It's very super convenient to have that to fall back on. I have gone to like trivia nights with coworkers before. But like I said, I am younger than Martha and I haven't had as many.
I'm old. I get it.
Opportunities. It's fine. You're old. I haven't had as many opportunities to go out and make friends. And luckily I've been able to see my friends in college maybe more than other people have. And for that, I'm very fortunate.
I think, what do we think about coworkers as friends? I guess you mentioned that now that I'm thinking of, I have some friends that are not my direct coworkers, but they're sort of, they work, like my company is huge, so they work at the same company, but we're not on the same team or whatever. So I've made friends that way, and that's been pretty fun. But I feel like coworkers can be really transient. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily know of anyone that keeps in contact with old coworkers. Maybe sometimes, depending on how long you work there and maybe if you're older. But for me, like some people in my work, yes, I'd want to stay in touch with, but some, when they leave, I already forgot about them, which is bad, but
chuck up the deuces and let them go. No, like, I feel like for me, there's a barrier for me. Well, in college, like I worked as an RA, and I, for whatever reason, it's different when like you live together and you're students together and you're going through all these things together. I feel like it's easier to have a friendship as coworkers that way. I will say though, Martha, it was different when I was on leadership as an RA and I was like in a position where I was above them. I felt it was a lot harder for me to become friends with those RAs than it was when I was just a member of the team.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think it just depends on, like, power dynamic comes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Age comes into it too. So there's really like no wrong way to be a friend or have a friend unless you're being totally destructive or it would just be inappropriate to have a friend. So
I will say it was semi-conscious on my part, and I'm sure it was semi-conscious on their part as well.
Yeah, that makes sense to me that there would just be sort of different power dynamics and, like, I don't know, people are weird. People are different and everyone's going to interact differently with everyone, which they shouldn't. I feel like you really need to be your authentic self for people to get to know you. I mean, I put on somewhat of a podcast persona, but I will say I'm pretty much the same in real life as I am here. Colby, I don't know. Can you attest to that?
You're like 95% the same person.
Yeah. You know, that's fine with me.
Do you think I'm the same person?
No, I think you're different, actually.
Interesting.
We'll talk about it later. We're talking about it now. I think you, because you've always told me that you're so shy. But when you get on, you know, this with me, it's like, I feel like I've known you my whole life. So I don't know. I think maybe you perceive yourself differently as other people do. And maybe that's why people like you and that's why you have friends.
It is different. It's easier to do this with a screen between us and also one-on-one.
That's true. That's a totally, oh my God, the topic of friendship is so vast. There's so many things to talk about. Yeah. So on that note, how do we make friends? Because, you know, think of back to your first day of elementary school. You get on the bus, maybe, or your parents probably drop you off. That'd be kind of a dick move if they made you take the bus the first day of school, but, or did they? I don't know. I don't know what my parents did.
Different experiences. Different parents have to do different things.
Yeah, also true. Also true. You know, the first day of kindergarten passes.
Can I tell you about how I made my first friend in kindergarten? I went up to, I will say his full name. I haven't talked to him in such a long time. You know what? I'm going to DM him after this podcast. He'll be like, hey, I talked about you on this podcast. Anyway, his name is Corey Jeanette in Brooks Global Studies Extended Year Magnet School, kindergarten.
Cute.
That August in 2001, I walked up to him and I said, hey, will you be my friend?
Oh my God, that's so cute.
And he was like, yeah. And we were friends for like 6 years. Like he was like my best friend in elementary school.
Oh, I love that. I used to know people that were in my elementary school kindergarten class, but I'm not friends with them anymore. I can't say I remember how I made my first friend. I remember what I wore though. I wore like a cute little daisy dress.
Aw.
Maybe that's why people liked me, because I was cute.
It helps.
So, okay, after you made that first friend, you still had to keep making friends. How do you do it?
You do it by, you kind of got to put yourself out there. Like, and I say that as a person that hates putting myself, in certain situations, I hate putting myself out there.
Sure.
And it's kind of, for some people, a very scary thing to do.
So we sort of put a list together. If you are struggling to maybe make new friends, or maybe you move to a new city that you're not really feeling comfortable with anyone yet, we put together a list with the help of our friends on how to make new friends. But yeah, like I said, like being yourself, being authentic, and like Colby said, putting yourself out there, those are probably the two main things to do. If you show up to any of these things and you don't talk, you don't say hi to anyone, you're not going to make a friend, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert, but I've been in the game long enough.
25 years in. So yeah. Martha, how do you make friends?
That's a good question. I remember how I made friends in college was my freshman roommate, shout out to Hannah. She is awesome. She's the realist. And she was the one that made friends. So the first thing that I ever did was become friends with her friends, which were actually just the people in our dorm room floor. So I used her as a vehicle to actually talk to people because I was an awkward 18-year-old that didn't know what to do.
No, that's so real. It is. Like if you're an introvert, have one extra, extroverted
that's
friend.
That's all you need. And honestly, you can be honest, like, hey, can you introduce me to, I don't know, Savannah or whatever? I haven't met her yet. Mm-hmm. And they'll be like, yeah, here's Savannah. You lived with her for 6 months before you talked to her. No one's perfect. So yeah, definitely friends of friends is a big thing. Like even if you move to a city, if you have one friend, fucking leech onto them. Make those other friends. Like that's how you do
it. Take their friends.
Yeah. Poach them. Be a friend poacher. Don't do that.
I went to a trivia night with one of my coworkers. It was really fun and we should have won. And if they would have listened to me, we would have won. Don't let your competitive side come out too much like I did. But at least this is what I did. My coworkers talked about trivia nights and I didn't like invite myself. But I was like, hey, I love trivia. So if y'all ever need an extra person, like I got you. And then one day they said, hey, we need one more person. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, hell yeah, I want to come. So I think if you ever hear like something that your coworkers are doing, just say, hey, I've done that before.
Totally. And along with that, like if you find that one place that you really like to go to, just hang out there, like go to the bar. You can bring a book, strike up friends with the bartenders, just like essentially like be nice to people at the same place and like talk to them. Some of them are probably regulars, and that's a good way to make friends too. So another way to make friends is the Bumble BFF app, which is kind of weird. Like, you actually have to download the Bumble app. It's not just for dating. You can match with friends in your area. There's some cool, like, cute little success stories online. When I was on it, there wasn't a ton of people in my area. And if there was, they, like, weren't really willing to hang out. So try doing that. It could be fun. Let us know if you do that. I'd love to hear a success story.
Yeah, moving on from that, I think one thing that can also be helpful is extracurricular stuff. Like, for me, I am an amateur musician, and I have a lot of musician friends. And a lot of them have joined community bands. So, like, if there's something that you know you did for a long time, and you're like, oh, I wish I could still do that, there are ways for you to do that. Like, Google a dancing troupe or
community orchestra.
Yeah, go to a makerspace, and there are people who are like you who have been doing this for a long time, or someone who's new and someone that you can teach how to do stuff. Or if you want to try something new, find someone there, the old wise sage, and she can teach you how to saw something or something.
Along with that, there's also volunteering. Maybe you want to volunteer at a hospital or maybe at a library. Talk to the other volunteers. You obviously have a common interest, and that goes, like Colby said, that goes a long way when you're trying to make friends. Even if you just have Game of Thrones in common, you'll make a friend.
Speaking of libraries, join a book club. I mean, again, common interest. Like, you're all reading the same book. There's a built-in thing to talk about. Like, that's a great way to have conversation if you know you're someone who struggles with coming up with things to talk about.
And if you are not the reading type, you can definitely check out a bar league. So what this is that there are some random things that only ever happen at bars. Like, we have a feather bowling thing at a brewery here. Put your name on the list.
Axe throwing.
Axe throwing. Yeah, you could join an axe throwing league. That's a great idea. Don't throw axes drunk, though. They will ricochet back to you.
Yes, they will.
Speaking from experience.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was really scary. But yeah, a bar league is a good way. Like, if anyone needs a, what do you call it, an alternate, sign up for the list. That could be fun. You could learn a new thing and make friends doing it.
Speaking of leagues, join some sort of sports league. Like, go play flag football somewhere. Don't play tackle football because, listen, we're too old to not be getting paid to do that. But play flag football or play basketball or soccer, whatever that is, that sport that you love to play, go join. I'm sure there are, like, things for different skill levels. So if you know that you are terrible at soccer, there is an adult soccer league out there for you.
Not for me, because I'm not athletic, but maybe for you. And another way to do it, and I know my friend Madison has done this, she is really good for some reason at finding good Craigslist roommates. They both moved to the same city after living in a different city. So they have, like, that friendship. She moved to Charlotte because she had a friend in Charlotte. So that's really cool that it ended up working out well. At least I think that's why she moved there, I'm pretty sure. But, well, don't quote me on that. But she had someone that she knew, and she stayed in touch with them and got to know a different city. So that's pretty cool. And again, if any of these, like, don't work out, just go to meetup.com and find something that you're interested in. There's literally thousands of groups on there, from ropes and kink to, like, book clubs. So there's so many options for you to find people. Yeah, there are people all over. And most importantly, they're, like, people in your same situation. People want to be surrounded by people they like and people that they love. So just open yourself up to it, really.
All right, y'all. So that is our episode on finding and dropping friends. We just dropped a lot of personal stories and a lot of strategies that you can use to find some friends. And I hope that this helps episode helps somebody who might feel like they're alone in not making friends or struggling making friends or keeping up with friends. You're not. We're here. We know that it can be difficult, especially after college.
And if you're really having trouble finding friends or you don't have anyone to talk to, just reach out to us. We are nice people and we are happy to chat with you from anything about football to Game of Thrones to what you have for breakfast this morning. Let us know. We're happy to help.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for listening. We'll end the podcast now and be back next week with a new episode all about our relationships with our parents.
Super fun and super exciting to talk about.
Oh, yes.
See you next week. Find us online at www.shityouneedtoknow.com or needtoknow.show and on Twitter and Instagram at SYNTKpod.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound.
And thanks to Cern Purs for the artwork.
Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. Beep boop, beep boop, beep boop, beep boop.
Boop, beep boop.